and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is in our midst. On Tuesday of this coming week, we celebrate one of the great feast days of the church year, the Elevation of the Cross. This feast commemorates the finding of the true cross, and as well as that, it commemorates the event that took place after finding the true cross and the site of the crucifixion. There was a church that was built over that site, the sepulcher. When that church was opened and was consecrated, the consecration ceremonies, was actually elevated over the cross, and that is what we commemorate in the feast as we make the procession of the cross, and we elevate the cross, we're remembering this historic event. But the feast days of the church's life are far more than a reenacting of history for us. We always must remember that as worshipers and participants, there is a reality that takes place in our own lives as well. It's not simply reliving something of the past. Sacramentally, we enter into the event of the day, of the feast, and we find meaning and spiritual food for our own souls in that process. And this feast is certainly no exception to that. The gospel text today that we read is in for this feast. It's a gospel reading selected with this feast in mind, foreshadowing and looking forward to this coming feast on Tuesday. We're already anticipating and preparing for the sacred event of the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross. So we don't actually hear today a gospel text on the crucifixion because that is reserved for the feast day itself, but rather today we hear an allusion to the cross, and we hear very clearly what takes place of the cross, that salvation is made possible, eternal life is possible to all who believe. But we hear today in the gospel text an important phrase that is that allusion to the cross. We hear, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's clearly an allusion to the event of the cross, but it's not so clear to us that this is an allusion to the cross unless we know that story of Moses and his life and the life of the children of Israel as they make their exodus from Egypt into the Promised Land. In Numbers 21, we read this story, how the children of Israel were once again in the midst of the struggles of the transit from Egypt. And they're wandering around in the wilderness, and once again they're complaining about the process. They're complaining about their life and what their life has become, this life in the wilderness, wandering from watering hole to watering hole, so to speak, it seems to them. And they're complaining particularly about how bored they are with manna. I mean, imagine the context, and yet all of us do this at times in our life. They're disdaining the very thing that miraculously is their provision, but because it's boring to them, it doesn't have the variety of their palate, they're complaining. They're complaining, they're complaining about the context, they're complaining about the heat. They turn their complaining to Moses himself and of leading them to this place to die there. Well, as bad as they think things were, things went quickly from bad to worse as they discovered fiery serpents were in their midst that had a venomous bite. And thus, many of them were bitten by these venomous snakes and became sick, and many died. And in the midst of that they felt, now with this infestation of these venomous snakes, they realize that they have complained against God and that they have gone too far, and they repent of their complaining. They repent of their complaining against Moses, and they come and they plead with Moses, please pray for our deliverance. And Moses agrees, and he does so. He prays, and the Lord directs him to, in fact, make a serpent of bronze, and to put that bronze serpent upon a pole, to lift it up and to place it in the midst of the camp. And if bitten, people were to look upon that serpent, that bronze serpent on the pole, and they would find healing and live. And thus, when we hear in the gospel text, as Moses lifted up the serpent, it is that serpent, that bronze serpent, that this is referencing. And as that bronze serpent was lifted up in the wilderness by Moses, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, we hear. It's an allusion to Christ literally being lifted up from the earth, suspended on the cross, lifted up on the pole of the cross, so to speak. And likewise, there's an allusion that as the people of God looked upon that image of the snake, back then. They found healing. So it is that as we look upon the cross, it is in the cross that we find our healing. It is through the cross that we find the healing of our souls that all of us so desperately need. But this lifting up is not just to be considered from its literal aspect. This lifting up of Christ upon the cross also has a figurative aspect in our lives. And we're to consider what this lifting up of Christ should mean to us, to each one of us. The Son of Man, Christ our God, must be lifted up in our lives as well. He must be lifted up and exalted in our lives. He must be elevated above our lives. We must put Christ in that exalted, lifted, elevated place in our life, that He takes priority and precedence over everything of our life. We need to remember that the cross is the single most important event of human history. I mean, when we think about what happened in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and it's a cosmic event that takes place. Sin is introduced. Death is introduced. Creation is put into disorder as a whole. And we've lived in that reality ever since this cosmic sin of Adam and Eve takes place. But what we also must recognize is the cross is likewise a cosmic event. A cosmic event does the wrong that was done back then, because through the cross, Christ triumphed over sin. He triumphed over sin. He bore the sin of the world. He is truly the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ triumphs over sin through the cross. And likewise, through the cross, Christ triumphs over death that was introduced way back then. Through His death, through Christ's death, He tramples down death. He defeats death. Death could not hold the one who is life eternal. Death could not hold on and had to release its grip, because He is the one who is life itself. And Christ rose in newness of life, bestowing life on all who believe. Through the cross, Christ triumphed over death. And through the cross, Christ triumphed over the enemy of our souls. The enemy had no accusation that he could bring against the blameless one. Christ was sinless and blameless. There was no accusation that could be brought to Him. And likewise, the darkness of the kingdom of the enemy, it yielded to the one who is the light of the world. And light shone as a result of the cross. Light shone in that dark place of Hades as it was defeated and trampled down, and death itself and sin. And all these things are triumphed over by Christ through the cross, through His death on the cross. The cross is that event, that single most important event in the history of the world. And so it is right for us to elevate the cross, because elevating the cross, we remember this reality. Elevating the cross, we remember the significance of what took place on that cross, the event of the cross. We remember what Christ did for us on the cross. And we remember, likewise, what we must do. Remembering Christ, we remember who we are and who we are called to be. We likewise humble ourselves. Because we humble ourselves because ultimately, we must recognize that it is our sin that has sent Christ to the cross in the first place. We hold on to our knowing that it is our sin that sends Christ to the cross. The only appropriate thing for us to do is to humble ourselves. Our sins sent Christ to the cross, and we must humble ourselves before it. We humble ourselves because we need grace. We need the forgiveness of God in our life. And let's face it, grace does not come to us in the package of our own arrogance. That's not how God gives grace. God gives grace to the humble. So when we humble ourselves, we receive grace from on high, grace that we need in our hour of need. We receive the forgiveness that we need, but it's through humbling ourselves before the cross that we receive grace and forgiveness. We humble ourselves because ultimately we are powerless to change our situation. The struggle, the issues that we face, the hurdles that are before us, ultimately, we can't change those through our power. We need to tap into some power that is ourselves. And the power of the cross is that power. We tap into the true power of the cross when we humble ourselves. When we don't humble ourselves, we don't tap into the power. It's like we're unplugged from right before us, but by humbling ourselves, we tap into that power of the cross, and it becomes available and real in our lives. So elevating the cross, we humble ourselves, but also find ultimately the place that we belong, and that is behind the cross, under the cross. We are reminded once again that we are followers or disciples, the one who is the crucified one. We become aware of our need to prioritize life as we place the cross before us. We recognize that our life has gotten out of order and we need to prioritize things and put things right. The cross is that reminder as we place it before us. As we place the cross above our life and the cross goes before us, we find as a follower of Christ the crucified. We become his disciple again and recognize what that means and what that call entails in our lives. So we prepare to celebrate the elevation of the cross this week. Not only do we elevate the cross, it will take place. Not only do we consider the historic dimension of the feast and what happened at that original elevation of the cross, but we also are to consider the figurative dimension of the cross in each of our lives. We're to consider what the cross is to call us to. We're to consider what it means to work that out in each of our own lives. The cross must take precedence over us. It must be elevated in our lives. The Son of Man, Christ, our true God, must be lifted up and exalted in our lives. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And as Christ, our God, is lifted up, we remember. We remember our place. We remember what has been done. We remember the significance of the cross. As Christ is lifted up, we humble ourselves. As Christ is lifted up, we find our place as his follower once again, the cross going before us, us following as his disciple. As the Son of God, the Son of Man, Christ our true God is lifted up, we put our trust in him. We believe, and ultimately, we find life eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.